Amen. Good morning, everyone. Some of you are awake. This is good. For a while there, I was wondering if it was just going to be Sharon and I and those who had to be here this morning. And it's good to see you. I remember one time I went to speak at church, and all that showed up was Sharon and I and another couple. The other couple said, "Let's just go for breakfast." I said, "No, I'm going to preach." So they had it. We're going to take our offering here this morning. And this morning you'll see in the some of the cup holders in front of you, the little blue envelopes. Those blue envelopes are for the benevolence offering, where we are helping people in need in our community, and that money specifically goes for that. So we invite you to help with that, to reach out, to make a difference in our community as well, and that's one of the ways you can do that, is with that benevolent offering as well this morning. So we invite you to do that, and we invite the ushers to go ahead, take the offering, and that is there for you today, and we hope that you be a part of that and help in our community. Just a couple of announcements for you. The youth, if you are a youth and you are entering grades 8 through 12, we're planning a trip for you to go on a Vancouver outreach and ministry trip that's coming up on August 16 and 17. So it's just a couple weeks away now. And so you need to get your registration's in. You need to let Danielle or Kelly know that you're going to be attending. They need to be able to finalize the numbers for that. So if you have not already done that, please do so. Also, getting ready for that, they're doing a fundraiser on Tuesday, August 14th, between 1 and 2. They are doing some refundable recycling, and you can drop off your recycling at Caps Off Bottle Depot behind the Clayton's Market on Tuesday, August 14th, between 1 and 2. And if you need any help or assistance with that and getting your stuff there, your recycling things, call the office and talk to Danielle or to Kelly, and they will make sure that they get the help to get you clean up all of that recycling stuff that is worth money that you have at home. All right? Good. We start today a series for August that, while Pastor Joel's away, there's going to be some other people sharing as we go through, but we're looking into the book of Psalms over the next few weeks, and I have the privilege of starting that off with you this morning. So we're going to be looking into Psalm 46. So if you got your Bibles with you, could you turn to Psalm 46 this morning? Those of you I mentioned before, I'm so glad that you're here. You know, it is so good to see you honoring God on this beautiful, sunny summer Sunday morning by coming to church and being in His house and being wanting to be blessed by Him and wanting Him to speak to you. There's so many other things you could be doing this morning. Do not say amen to that. There's so many other things that you could be doing this morning, and you've chosen to come into this place to worship with other believers, to honor God and to honor Him. And I know that God's going to honor you and bless you because you are honoring and blessing Him. So I speak that blessing over you this morning as we begin, because you have chosen to do that today. Lord, bless your people this morning. Let your anointing be upon them. Let them be strengthened and touched by your power and your grace today in this place. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Amen. Welcome. We're so glad to have you here today. And if you're visiting with us, a big extra welcome to you. I'm not the regular guy up here. I'm just the fill-in today. So you'll have to come back again. We invite you to come back again to hear Pastor Joel when he is here. Psalm 46, we're going to go over there and we'll take a look at it. The title of my message today is Be Still and Know That I Am God. I also have a subtitle. It's called I Am Has You. I Am Has You. It really is better English than it sounds. I am has you today. Psalm 46, let's read through it. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. That's the city. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. You want to say that one again? Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms will fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is for us. I am has you. We live in a time where there are a lot of things that are going around that can cause so much disturbance within us, so much fear and concern, where there's all of these things going on around in the world, many of them south of us, but many of them around the world in general. There's just this overwhelming sense of tension there is in so many places. And it seems to be getting worse. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of it getting better. The tensions are getting worse, and it's starting to affect in things that we see around us and hear around us. Just within the last few days, we've been waking up in the middle of the night and throughout the day to couples fighting and screaming in the neighborhood where we are at. The tension and that kind of problems are around us in so many ways. There's people that can't get along. There's individuals that can't get along. There are nations that can't get along. There's nations that can't get along within themselves. There's even groups that can't get along within themselves. There are churches that can't get along. There are neighbors that can't get along. There's husbands and wives that can't get along. There's parents and children that can't get along. There's sometimes we're even fighting with ourselves. And in the midst of that, we need to be able to know that God is real and God has answers and God has some peace and help for us where we are at. And if you need to feel and to sense the peace and presence of God in your life, this is for you this morning. Because I am's got you. He is with you. He's going to help you. He's going to give you the strength and the peace that you need as we get a hold of some of the truths that we're going to look at in God's Word today and see how he's working through many of these things. God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in times of trouble. Refuge, that word refuge, and it is a Hebrew word there that means sanctuary place. Not a sanctuary city, but a sanctuary place, a safe place. When you are in there, it's similar to the word for the mother's womb. It's related to that word. It's not the same word, but it's related to that word. It's that place where your needs are being taken care of, and you're being surrounded and you're being carried where you are at. This is a refuge that you are. God is your refuge. He's that place for that. If we understand what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, he is the place that we can go to where he's going to be able to surround you and just to wrap his big old arms around you and help you and protect you where you're at. And there's sometimes in our lives when we just need a big hug, right? And guess what God wants to do? He wants to give you a big hug. And you know what? He can. Well, how can God give me a big hug? He's just a spirit. I need like physical arms around. No. When God gives you a big hug, you'll know it. Because he can. And he does. Those of you who have had a big hug from God know exactly what I'm talking about. You're just feeling this desperation. You're just feeling this fear. You're just feeling all of this stuff inside of you. And all of a sudden, as you're calling out to him, all of a sudden, you just feel this rest. That's the refuge of God. That's the place of refuge. Where he takes you in the midst of that and he wraps his arms around you and he hugs you. He is my refuge and my strength. That word strength there means the ability to overcome anything. There is nothing. It is in an unassailable strength. It is an unassailable power. Nothing can overcome that strength. So when it declares, God is my refuge and my strength, what it's saying is, God is my place where I am completely surrounded and cared for, but also, he is also my strength. That means he's unassailable. There's nothing can come against him and beat him. Nothing can come against him and beat him. I got to warn you, I'm trying to control myself this morning. Some of you who've heard me preach before know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard me preach before, I'm sorry ahead of time, okay? God surrounds you with his power and strength. And then it goes on the next verse, it says, therefore. Now, if you're in my Bible study, or if you've heard me speak before, you know that whenever you see the word therefore, you have to look at what it's very good, what it's there for. So if you see therefore, you have to understand what it's there for. In order to understand what it's there for, you have to look at what came before it, because what came immediately before it is what's going to tie to whatever comes immediately after it. Okay? So what he's saying is, God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Oh, by the way, I forgot about that part. Ever-present help in times of trouble. That means anytime, every time, all the time. I got one middle. Amen. There we go. Anytime, all the time, every time. He is there for us anytime, every time, all the time. He's there. And so he comes and he says, now, therefore. Now, in this case, in Scripture, whenever you also you see the word therefore, it's declaring that whatever came before it is fact. This is fact. It's not a wish. It's a fact. And so the therefore means, because you can look at what I've spoken previous to this as fact and truth, therefore an action on your part is a proper and needed response. So when we look, that says that God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. That is not a wish. That is not a hope. That is not a maybe he'll do it this time. That is not any of those things. That is a declaration of who and what our God is. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is our refuge and our strength. You don't have to doubt that. You don't have to work to get that. You don't have to work to believe that. All you have to do is acknowledge that is a fact, that God is my help, and he is with me in this time of trouble. He is my strength when I am weak, and I can depend on him. Therefore, I will not fear. Ooh. That's one of those things that when we hear it, the I will not fear, we go, amen, brother, that's good, but I'm afraid you're wrong. Because fear comes against me in so many different ways. Fear comes and it attacks us in so many different ways. It arises in all of these different reasons in us, and a lot of the time it comes from a lack of trust in God. But it can also come within us. Last fall was a dark time for me. A really dark time. It was a time when I let fear and regret overwhelm me. And I backed away from so many things. I backed away. I resigned from the church board in the summer, and I quit doing the life groups in the fall, and I even shut down our home life group for the fall. I didn't do anything. Because I'd lay in bed at night and I wouldn't sleep because I was afraid of all the things that might be. And I was regretting all the things that were. And so I was looking at the past and regretting in that, and I was looking at the future without any hope. And I was tumbling and I was turning and I was being torn apart. I have never in my life considered suicide, but, and please don't misunderstand me, I've never considered it, but at that point in time, I could understand it. You mean, you know what I mean? And the fears about failing again. Fears about taking steps forward. Fears about even trying. Were overwhelming. It affected my work. It affected my relationship with Sharon. It affected my relationship with God. It affected my relationship with the church, with Pastor Joel. It affected my relationship everywhere. And it caused me just to go inside and shut down. And I could come to church on Sunday morning and people go, "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing?" "Yeah, that's good. You know, this is good. Good to see you. Yeah, you doing fine?" "Yeah, everything's good." That was after I'd only slept about an hour and a half the night before because I couldn't sleep. Because when I laid down, my mind would take off on me and the fears would come. See, fear and regret are those things that will tear you apart on the inside and they will separate you from God. But here's something that I know and I've learned and I knew it in the past and I probably have even taught you in the past that I had forgotten about, is that fear and faith are the same, are the, on the same coin but opposite sides. Fear and faith both do this. Fear and faith both look at the future with an assumption of the result. Right? So when you're full of fear, you're looking at the future and you're assuming, and when yourself, you believe with certainty that it's going to be horrible. That's going to turn out lousy. That's going to turn out terrible. And that fear overwhelms you because as you're looking at the future, that's what you see. But praise God, there's another side of that coin. That's the side of faith. Faith says when you look at the future, it is in God's hands and you do not need to fear because He is in control of the future. You are not. Thank God I'm not in control of my future. That doesn't mean I don't get involved in what He's going to do. I got to be involved. You got to be involved. You can't just sit back and say, "Lord, bring it on." No. He gets you involved. He gets you moving toward it. He gets you moving to the place that He wants you to go. He involves you in what He wants to do. He involves you in getting you to that position where you are need to be. But you've got to be obedient in that. But He's got the future in control. You do not. And you do not need to allow, and you should not allow your fears to keep you from moving into it. Because the enemy will come, and all he wants to do is to tell you it's going to be terrible. You can lie in bed at night and think about your job. "Oh, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's going to be terrible. Man, I'm going to have to get there. I'm going to have to deal with those people." You know, retail wouldn't be nearly so bad if you didn't have to deal with people. "Lord, I'm so upset about tomorrow. Tomorrow, the bills are due. I don't want tomorrow to come, Lord, because tomorrow the bills are due. And my bank account is going, not going to happen. Lord, I don't want it to come. Lord, I don't want 2 weeks to come down the road, because in 2 weeks, this is going to take place. Lord, I don't want to consider about 5 years down the road from now. What's my retirement going to be like? What's my life going to be like? What are my kids going to be like 5 years from now? Lord, why am I worried about this with a few? Lord, you can lie, and all of that stuff just goes over and over and over and over and over and over in your mind, and it builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up until you are ready to explode. And God comes and says, whoa, 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 whoa. I am your refuge, that place where you can go to be safe. And I am your strength, the thing, the power that you need to get through what you were going through. I am your ever-present help. I am always there to help you. Always, always, always. There to help you. I am your ever-present help in times of trouble. And trouble will always find us. You don't have to look for trouble. Mm-mm. It'll move next door to you. It will. It may be sitting beside you. Don't nudge anybody. It may be in the next phone call. Maybe in the next visit to the doctor. It may be anything. Trouble will find you. Trouble will find you. And that's one of the guarantees that we have in this life, that we will face trouble. Two things are guaranteed for us in this life 100%. The one, that we will die. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the other is that we're going to have trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Those two things. That is why it's so important that this first verse be looked upon as fact. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. If you get that as the fact into you, you can go to the therefore. And in the therefore, you can go, I will not fear. Because when we fear, all kinds of stuff starts to happen to us. All kinds of things get worked up inside of us in this way. And one of those things is a battle that takes place inside of us that is so hard. Because as I said before, sometimes we're battling with ourselves. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 from the Amplified Bible. Now, Amplified does not mean it's really loud. What it means is that it's explained more fully in the Greek, from the original language. It's giving you a greater explanation of what's being said. So let me read this to you. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 of the Amplified Bible. Talking about Christians, it says, for let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether they are apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, which is treachery and deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it. Let him do right. Let him search for peace, which is harmony, undisturbances from fears, agitating passions and moral conflicts. And seek it eagerly. In other words, do not merely desire peaceful relationships with God, your fellow man, and with yourself, but pursue and go after them. When I read that one, and with yourself, ooh, pursue, search for peace, and seek it eagerly with myself. We understand the need to pursue peace with our neighbors. We understand the need to pursue peace with God. That comes easy to us. We understand the concept of that. But when we have to look at and recognize that what God wants of us is not just peace and relationship with them, but he wants us to have peace within ourselves, with ourselves. That's tougher sometimes. And we are to eagerly pursue it, seek it, pursue it. Know that within each one of us, there is a peace that we can have with ourselves. And that means coming to peace with your past, coming to peace with your present, and looking at with peace to your future. It's all the situations that you are in. It is a powerful declaration of what God wants to do and how God wants to work it. I came across this quote from Ron Brown in a book called The Courageous Life. I just want to read this to you. He said, "A man I never met sent me an email and then came to see me. At one time, he had attained a position of importance and influence in his profession and was widely respected by those who knew him. But he lost it all through a series of serious moral failures. When the truth became known, he lost his job, his reputation, his profession, and his means of supporting his family. Now he's trying to put the pieces back together. He told me he had joined a support group of men struggling with the same sort of moral failures he had experienced. It's a rigorous group, he explained. They have one rule. No self-pity. No whining or complaining or moaning about what happened or how hard life is or how bad you have it or how if your wife had treated you better, you wouldn't be in this mess. He says, I've discovered that self-pity is the enemy of spiritual growth. Let me repeat that one. Self-pity is the enemy of spiritual growth. He told me, and he's right, as long as we mope around feeling sorry for ourselves, we can't get better and we'll be stuck right where we are. Not only will you be stuck right where you are, you'll often pull back and become further away from where you want to be. When you start to feel sorry for yourself, please, if you're dealing with, and I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all love as I say this right now, but I want you to understand. Pride, by its definition, is a focus on self, right? It's a focus on self. Self-pity, by definition, is a focus on self. So, hear me, in love, if you struggle with self-pity, you struggle with pride. And you need to let God bring healing to that part in you. Can you receive that? Because that's how God wants to bring healing to you. He wants us to get over ourselves. Our Christian walk is completely about getting over ourselves. We have to get over who we are and what we are. We have to get over what we think about ourselves. It's not about me. It's never about me. It's about Him. And our need to trust Him and what He's doing and what He wants to accomplish in our lives. We have to give Him what we are going through. The other part about troubles that we face is we struggle with the whys. Why did this happen? Why did this sickness come? Why did this person die? Why didn't I get that job? Why did this person leave me? Why? And we struggle with God and we cry out to God, God, I need to know why. I don't understand why. Why, God, is this happening? And so we get all uptight again and we start arguing with Him and we face the troubles of the whys in the midst of our troubles and we create more troubles by asking the whys. There's a pastor that Sharon and I know of and we've sat under his teaching in a number of seminars. His name is Charles Neiman. And he and his wife pastoring in El Paso, Texas. His wife was very much his partner in the ministry. She shared the pulpit. She shared the ministry completely with him. They were very, 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 very much a team in their ministry. She died of cancer about 2 years ago. They're in their late 60s, early 70s. She died of cancer about 2 years ago. And in the middle of his grief, in the middle of what he was going through, in the middle of what he was struggling with, he said, one thing I determined within myself to do, and I prayed this to God. He said, God, I'm not going to ask you why. I just want you to help me to do what's right now. Help me to live and do what's right now. He went on to explain, the truth about the whys is this. If you ever did get your why answer from God, you wouldn't be satisfied with it anyway. You might even wind up being more angry with God, and you would want to tell him something different about why this was and why this wasn't, and why that wasn't a good enough reason. God's not going to tell you all the whys. See, sometimes we get this whole thing backwards. We think God is accountable to us, right? God, explain yourself, God, right now. What do you think you're doing? We prayed for sunshine today and it poured rain. Who do you think you are, God or something? Yes. We want God to be accountable to us. God, why did this happen? You need to tell me why this happened, God, because I don't understand and I don't like it. Tell me why this happened. We prayed that it wouldn't and it did. Why? Tell me why. And there's silence. Complete silence. And you stomp your foot and you rock around and say, God, you didn't tell me why. I need to know why. I can't go on until you tell me why. And there's silence. There's silence. And what Charles Niemann said was so true. The only way to get beyond that is to say, God, I'm not going to ask you the why. I'm just going to ask you to help me to do what's right now. Let me do what's right now. And then you can move past it. Because if he is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble, that does not mean he will tell you the whys, but he will give you the strength you need to be able to move past it. And to be able to go on in your walk with him. And that's what he wants to do. That's exactly how he wants to reach out and to touch and to make it work for you. He is the mighty one. The Lord Almighty is with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. That be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because the Lord is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's repeated in slightly varying forms in several places throughout Scripture. This is not something that was specifically and limited to and will stay with Moses. This is a declaration of who God is and how he views his people. So it's something that you can take out of the book of Deuteronomy and say, this is today. You can do that easy. You can, and you should do that, because this is not limited to a one-off. This is a declaration of the character of God. God's character never changes. Old Testament, New Testament, his character never changes. His love for us never changes. It doesn't change. And so what he says here, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. The Lord Almighty is with us. Woo! I know, sorry. God's with us. Come on. God's with you today. When you're sitting there at home and you're looking at stuff and it's getting you all uptight, or you're having a conversation that's getting you all uptight, guess what? God is there with you. When you're lying in bed at night and your mind is going and you can't sleep and you're worried about all kinds of stuff and you're letting all the fear come in, God is there with you, and he's there right there and wants to be able to take you and not give you necessarily the answer for the wise, but to be able to take you and to give you that big hug to lift you up and to let you know, hey, I'm your refuge and your strength. Come on, just let me help you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You got to trust. And then you start to see what he does. You start to see how he works. You got to see how he's working. If you watched the news at all yesterday, you saw the tornadoes in Manitoba. Anybody see the tornadoes in Manitoba? Okay. All right, for those of you who didn't see it, there were tornadoes in Manitoba. Up in a little fairly remote area off Lake Winnipeg, in an area called Alonsa, and a beach called Margaret Spruce Beach. Almost all of Sharon's relatives live in that area. And that beach, if you saw the pictures of the beach, all of Sharon's sister-in-laws and their kids were on that beach. And they saw the storm coming. And as they saw the storm coming and recognized what it was, they left what they had. They piled in two vehicles, leaving a vehicle and three of their campers there, two of them new camper trailers, and left. Literally 3 minutes before the tornado hit the beach. And if you see it now, it's destroyed. Absolutely destroyed by this tornado. Horrible tornado. Her dad, Sharon's dad, was at home on the farm. He was alone. The tornado actually went through between his house and the next house, which is about a couple kilometers up the road. Tornado went through between them, missed his church by about half a kilometer, but the tornado went through there. He was at home, and he saw this car go by as the storm was coming, and it sort of slowed down, but then it kept going north towards where the storm was. A few minutes later, it came back and pulled in the driveway, and there was this young lady there. He said she was about 25. Says, look, you know, I got out there. I saw the funnel from the tornado. She says, I called my mom. I was supposed to be going up there to Swan River and but to see my friends up there. I called my mom. She said, just go back to the last house you passed and see if you can go in and stay there till the storm passes, because they'd heard about the tornado warnings and all the rest. So Sharon's dad says, sure, come on in. And they sat there, and for the next 2.5 hours, the storm raged all around them. They saw the funnels. Wind was blowing. Complete and utter chaos all around them. As he got talking with this young lady, Sharon's dad he's been preaching all his life. He came out of the womb preaching, I think. And as he got talking with her, he found out that she was the daughter of a man who had pastored the church up in Swan River. And she was going back up to see her friends, but she was a Christian. So here's what had happened. A young gal, 25 years old, heading into the storm, her mom says, go back to the last house you just passed. And she comes back to the house of a pastor. There they were able to talk together, to pray together, to sit through the storm together. That's no accident that Christian girl needed that kind of influence in the midst of that storm. God brought her and said, come on, daughter, we'll care for you. Yeah, you go back to the last house. I know the guy in the house. You're going to like him. Come on. So God takes her back and brings her into that house where Sharon's dad, the pastor, is there and say, come on in. We're going to ride out the storm and we're going to trust God and pray to God in the midst of it. God is good. God is with us. God is for us. At the very end of this portion of scripture, be still and know that I am God. Now, we often take this out of context. And it's not fully out of context, but give me just a couple more minutes and I'll be done. The context of this psalm is that the Lord is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble, therefore we will not fear. And then for the next few verses, it goes down and it talks about how nature comes up against and tries to destroy God's people, how nations rise up and try to destroy God's people and everything else. And when it gets to this point where God says, be still and know that I am God, we have often taken that as speaking directly to us, that we need to be still and know that he is God. And the application of that is good and not improper and fine, but that is not what the context of this is. The context of this is God is speaking to those nations and the things of nature that have risen up and are causing problems to God's people. And he's looking at them and saying, be still and know that I am God. Stop running what you're doing to try to destroy my people. Stop doing what you're doing to try to mess with me. But understand that I am God. So you be still and knock it off. That's what that's saying. It's like Jesus in the boat with the disciples. They were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was asleep in the boat. Storm came up. Disciples who were fishermen were used to that. They did everything they could to try to get out of the storm. Jesus was still asleep. I don't know how he slept. The waves coming over the bow. Jesus soaking wet. He's sleeping away. But he's sound asleep in the boat. Finally, they wake him up and said, Master, Master, wake up. We're going to die. Don't you care? Jesus got up. He looked at the storm. Remember what he said? Peace. Be still. Parallel? Peace, be still. He's speaking to the storm that was trying to destroy the disciples in the boat. God wants to say, peace, be still to the things that are coming against you. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live stressed out by all these things that are going on. You don't have to live constantly fretting and overcome by all of this. You don't have to live in panic. That's not where God wants you to be, because God has got the ability to go and speak to those things that you are coming up against and to say to them, peace, be still. And here's the thing that happens. When Jesus was in the boat and the storm was raging and coming up against them, and the disciples were freaking out about it all. They're just going crazy, man. They're just totally freaking out. And God, Jesus stands up and looks at the storm and says, peace, be still. The storm went quiet. The waves went quiet. Guess what happened to the disciples? Peace came to them. And peace will come to us too when sometimes when we do need to be still. Because when we get panicky, we are terrible. I was speaking recently to a young lady. I said, you know, you're a wonderful young lady. You got some really good qualities, some really good things. But there's also another side of you. And quite honestly, you can be a real drama queen. And you can freak out at the littlest thing, thinking and acting like it's the biggest thing. And you create stress for yourself and for everyone else around you when you do that. So when God says, peace, be still, sometimes you are the thing that is causing you the stress. And sometimes God needs to speak to us to say, peace, be still to us, so that we don't cause ourselves stress. Because there's not only drama queens, there's drama kings. I've seen them both. And when those things come in our lives, God's peace is there for us. Why is that peace there for us? Go back to the very beginning. He is our refuge and our strength. Fact. Our ever-present help in the time of trouble. Fact. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, I am has you. He has you in the palm of his hand. He has you caring for you. He has you and wants to work in you and with you. I am has you. Don't doubt it. Know that God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to take communion this morning. And in preparation for that, and in light of this message, I want to issue you a challenge. You see, we're going to take the bread and or the cracker and the juice, which represents the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And it says that when we take of it, he says, you're remembering my death until I come. We look at the first part of that. This is my blood. This is my body. A new covenant. We look at those. We repeat those. We understand those. But what we don't often understand is the importance of this is representing my death, remembering my death until I come. And that's where the power really is part of it. Yes, there's the new covenant, the huge power in the new covenant of salvation in Jesus Christ. Huge, huge, huge. The blood and body of Christ is huge. But there's also remembering his death. See, when you remember his death, you also remember his resurrection. Listen. When he died on the cross, he died for our sins. When he rose from the grave, he rose in victory over everything Satan has tried to do and will do. Some of you understand. We've got to get this. Everything Satan's trying to do right to you right now, every fear, every attack, every distress that's coming against you right now. When Jesus died on that cross, he paid for the price so that when he rose again, though Satan has already defeated in those things for you. We are living a life that truly is a life of victory in Jesus. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that. Satan will lie to you again and again and again, saying, I ain't going to work for you. That's not going to happen. No, no, no. God's not going to do that. And he'll get you all wrapped up in all these things that are going on in yourselves, all those fears, all those regrets, all that stuff that's going on. He'll try to shut you down and keep you from being anything worthwhile. But God wants you to know right now that you are victorious Christ. And the enemy has no place in your life destroying you and coming against you. You can take a stand for God and declare the truth of God against what the enemy is saying and what he's doing. You can stand up and say to the enemy, no, you get your hands off of my children. Now, in the name of Jesus, they are free. In the name of Jesus, they will not be bound by the things that are wrapping them up. Those drugs will be broken off in their lives. The fears will be broken off in their lives. Everything that's going on right now, you've got the authority and the power of the living God inside of you to take the stand against the enemy. And that's what communion reminds us of. The salvation there is in Jesus Christ. And the power of his victory over everything Satan tries to do. Everything he tries to do, past, present, and future. The only thing Satan can do is when we let him. If we fight him and say, no, you're not going to do that to me. No, you're not going to do that to my family. In the name of Jesus. And dig in. Sometimes that digging in is getting in and just, it's I call it pit bull faith, man. You're going to bite on to that truth and you're not going to let it go no matter what. Knowing that God's got the truth and the answer for you. When you take communion today, we're going to ask you to come down. And yes, I want to do it different today. I would like you to come down and take both elements back to the seat with you. Okay? Don't take them, receive them here, but take them back to the seat with you. We're going to take them together. But in preparation for now, my challenge to you is this. What are the areas in your life that are causing you trouble and fear that have been there and going on for a long time? What are the areas of your life where you've been whining and complaining, just trying to justify your bad feelings about yourself? Have you been doing the drama queen, drama king thing? Are there things happening in your life that you need to make sure that God's got victory over, that you have really had a problem seeing God bring about? These elements are for the recognition of that victory and of that power in your life. So we're going to pray together before we take them together, that the power of God, the victory of God, will come as a reality to you as we do this in obedience to Him today, and that God will start to speak and work those truths in you. What is it that you need? What is it that you need? What is it that you need? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Because it's something very important we need to do before we take communion. And that's this. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've never prayed and asked Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Because the only way you're going to have access to the power of God is in that relationship with Him. You may have been attending church all your life. You may have been attending this church for a long time. You may be attending another church. But if you've never actually prayed the prayer of commitment to Jesus Christ, you need to do that to build the relationship, because it's the relationship with Him that makes it work. It's not your relationship with the church. It's not relationship with Christians or church people. It is your relationship with Jesus Christ that gives you access to God's power and strength. So if you've never done that, you need to do that, and I invite you to do that this morning. So if there's anybody here, eyes closed, heads bowed, please, everyone. Nobody looking around. If you've never committed your life to Christ, but you know you need God's power, you need His help in your life, will you just raise your hand where you are this morning? Is there anybody? Anybody today? Okay. I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me today. Just follow as I speak. And everybody pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I need You. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and become the Lord of my life. I dedicate my life to You, to serving You, being obedient to You. I thank You for setting me free and be real to me today. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, we believe you just became a Christian. And you now have a new walk with God that you didn't have before. Best decision you ever made. And now communion means even more to you. So ask the servers to come up, please, with the communion. And as the musicians play, will you come, just take the elements, both elements, and just take them back to your seat with you? I promise I won't keep you much longer. It's an amazing thing that Jesus did when he allowed himself to be taken to that cross and not only the physical torture of the death, but the spiritual torture of carrying all the sins of you and me and everybody else. It's astounding to me that he would even choose to do that. But that just shows you how great and how deep his love is for you and for me. It's huge. This that we're doing this morning, this is not a ritual of the church. This is actually an important part so that we don't forget the power of God and the love of God for you and me. The body, the blood of Christ, shed and broken for us. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for me, broken for you. Take, eat. And remember me." Let's eat together. The cup represents the blood, his blood that was shed, that produces that new covenant which allows us to have this relationship with God. But it also represents the price that was paid for the victory in your life over the enemy. And we don't get the victory. Jesus already has it. We step into that victory of Jesus. And when we step into it by believing what he says and acting as he wants, we receive the power of God in our lives. In the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, This cup is my blood, which is the new covenant, which is shed for you. The new covenant in peace with God. Let us drink together. Heavenly Father, oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're working when we can't see it. I thank you that you're loving even when we don't feel it. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to cleanse us from our fears and cleanse us from our regrets and cleanse us from our past and give us hope for our future. I thank you, God, that when the enemy comes against us, Lord, you can go against him and we'll go against him stronger. And that he can be defeated in our lives. God, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your peace. And I speak over this congregation this morning, your peace, Lord God. That you will speak it to them. You will stir it within them. And Lord, those this morning that need a big hug from you, Father, I pray that your spirit will come down and as they're seeking you out, Lord, they'll just feel you wrap your arms around them. But I rebuke the lies of the devil that are being spoken into hearts and minds that bring fear for the future. And now I ask God that you replace that fear with faith in the name of Jesus. That we look to our answers in you because you are our safe place. You are our strength. You are our ever-present help in time of trouble. And let that blessing be on us. May your spirit guide us and love us and keep us. May we feel and the power of your presence throughout our week, in our homes and in our jobs, with our families and with our friends. Lord, let the reality of you be in us and shining out through us to those around us. May your blessings flow into our lives and through us to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. There will be some prayer teams here at the front. If you'd like prayer this morning, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time today, I invite you to come up and talk with one of our prayer teams and let them pray with you and just lock in. And just important that they do that, that you acknowledge what God has done for you and let these prayer teams come and pray with you and encourage you and bless you with what you've done. Be blessed. Have a great week, everyone. Let God's anointing be on you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.